Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Meseches Erech and Daf Chaf Dalet. We begin at the Mishnah and Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. It's around 10-11 lines from the bottom. So a fellow committed, he made a pledge to pay a certain amount to Hegdash. Okay, I'm going to give the Erech, the value of so-and-so to the Beis HaMikdash, and he's not paying. So what happens? The treasurer, the sheriff, comes running and can even repossess his belongings. Afal Bisha Amru, says the Mishnah, even though we had already said back on the Chaf Aleph, Chayavi Erchen, those who are obligated to issue a payment, so they have an outstanding debt with the Hegdish. So they can come and take his items away to sell them towards the debt. So although we do that, Rashi says, Gizbar nichnas levotein, he enters their home, v'noitel barkoch, and forcibly removes items, but you have to leave him. Critical items that he needs for his basic living. But nicely, we leave him the following items. The items or, funds to support, to purchase these items, these basic necessities. Nicely, mazon, food for 30 days, shloshim yom, uksus, and clothing, shnimasar chayish for 12 months, mit mutzas. A properly, set up bed with, linen, with sandalov, and shoes for the winter. They needed special shoes to protect from the mud. Utfilov, and his in addition to summer shoes, he needs winter shoes. Utfilov, and his tefillin as well. So we leave them for him to use. Loi, for his own personal needs. Avaloi liishtoi ulevanov, but we don't leave him all these items to accommodate his family. So as we're going to see later, you can't take their clothing, their shoes, but whatever he has, even though some of the money is allocated for, we don't leave him enough, only for himself. Now let's say he was a craftsman, he had a profession, he's a carpenter. Do we take away his tools? Do we take away his equipment? Mikol. We leave him two items of each, tool. So two drills, two screwdrivers. For instance, charosh, if he's a fellow that works with wood, carpenter, we leave him shnei ma'atzadin, two planes, shnei megeres, two saws. Likewise, if he's a farmer, we leave him his pair of oxen. Chamer, a donkey driver, we leave him the donkey. And the Tanakama will disagree, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Tanakamba says, look, sometimes you can have a farmer without his, a tractor. He'll work with somebody else, he'll go hire himself out and use the owner's tractor. A donkey driver, perhaps he can hire himself as a driver without a car, So these aren't considered vital necessities. So we spoke about leaving him two, copies of each piece of equipment. But let's say he has 20 screwdrivers and just one drill. We don't say, okay, we'll balance it out. How many screwdrivers does it take to buy another drill? He needs two, right? One, that he uses, one for a backup. And we'll leave him extra screwdrivers to account for that second. We don't say that. The fact is, look, he managed up until today with just one screwdriver. Ella, rather, the correct approach is, we leave him two of the many, meaning two screwdrivers, whatever he has from the lesser number, meaning one drill is one drill. Hamagdash nechasav, one more halacha, a person gives away all his assets, all his possessions, everything is hagdash. Are his tefillin included? Yes, and he has to buy it back. Malon lo tefillov, we have to estimate the value, and he has to pay that to buy back his tefillin because that's included in his pledge. Now the Mishnah began that we leave him his basic necessities. How do we know? My time, how do we know? Maybe we take it all. We have a pasuk, Damakru. V'imach who? Fellow's poor, who? You have to leave him with his basic needs, who? Merkecha, hachiyehu. Let him live, give him his basic needs, his basic necessities, merkecha. Even after you collect, you know, the obligated, you know, amount. But not for his family, my time, who merkecha? Pasuk specifies him. You have to ensure that he has his basic needs, but you don't meant to leave extra to supply for his family. But we're going to see the next Mishnah, the Gizbar does not repossess their belongings. We're speaking about, you know, his money or his extras that he's intending to use for, he has to pay for his debt regardless. Rablazo Aymem Hoy Iker, a farmer, we leave him his oxen, Rabban and disagree. Hanu Lav Klei Umnus Nimin, these aren't considered tools of craft, they're just regular assets. And the Prashim explained, you can manage technically without them. You can farm without your own, you know, use the owner's tractor, etc. And therefore they're considered ordinary assets and are slated for repossession. So you had one type, screwdrivers, many, and from the other type, the drill, you only had one. We don't balance it out. Pshita, of course. Look, until now he managed with one drill. Why should we give him more? Hashtanami, so now two. Sagile, one should be enough. Why would you think that you need to balance it out? No, the tamer, there's room to think like this. Until today, the Hava Leila Shuli, he had extra screwdrivers that he can lend out freely. So perhaps that would give him access to an extra drill if, in case he needs it. Somebody would lend him back a drill in exchange for the screwdriver. Hava Moishle, there people would lend him as well. So although he didn't own two drills, but he has access, since he has the extra tools to work with, the extra screwdrivers to lend out. But Ashta Deleka de Mashale, but now that he doesn't have extra screwdrivers to lend out, so perhaps he'll have a harder time accessing, you know, somebody who will lend him an extra drill if he needs. So perhaps he shouldn't take the extra screwdrivers, let him have that little bit of cushion. Kamashman, the point is no. The fact is, you'll need it, you'll borrow it, you managed until now, you'll keep on managing. So a fellow gave away all his possessions, includes the tefillin as well. In fact, there was a story. Hogavra, this fellow that sold all his possessions. And the question is, what about his tefillin? He came to Rav Yehimar, he told him, look, tefillin are included unless you stipulate otherwise. Possessions are possessions, including the tefillin. Saliku le tefillin. You have to remove his tefillin. They still wear tefillin all day. You have to take it off and give it to the buyer until you buy it back. Mike Hamashmon says, what's the big novelty here? Mas nisni. This is in the Mishnah as well. For a person's magdish, all is the nechasim includes the tefillin. We assume the same with a sale. A magdish nechasim only tefillin, right? Now, the table, perhaps there's room to think to differentiate. Hasim would suffer, perhaps. We only consider the tefillin included in a pledge and a donation because the person is thinking, mitzvah, kavina, I'm doing a great deed, something very noble, doing this big donation. So even if it's at the expense of being, being unable to fulfill the mitzvah tefillin, perhaps it's okay. Avalin is zvuni, but when a person is merely selling, perhaps we should assume he didn't mean to include the tefillin. Why would he forfeit such a great mitzvah? Mitzvah de gufei, a personal mitzvah, loizav inish, a person wouldn't sell that. Kamashman, the point is no. It's included until you buy it back. Eglasham echad amagdash nechosav, says the Mishnah. So, we spoke about, you know, repossessing his assets to apply towards his debt. And that applies to a person who was magdash his nechosav. And a person who did an erech pledge. Okay, so we leave him his basic necessities, but as we said, we can't accommodate his family, but you don't go into their closet and take away their clothing. Once it's theirs, it's theirs. He can't, you know, obligate himself with respect to his family's assets. Echad amaglish nechosim, whether he was maglish as nechosim, v'echad amarech atzmoy, he made an erech on himself, and now he owes this money. Eloibusus ishtoy, eloibusus banav. So, we don't, the treasurer, the sheriff, doesn't repossess his wife's clothing or his children's clothing. Even if he commissioned a suit for them, he had the material dyed for their clothing, So once it's been earmarked for them, it's like they're kaina it. Likewise, shoes that he bought for them, which haven't even been worn, but since it was bought for them, it's like theirs, they're kaina it, and it's out of reach. Now comes another halach. You know, sometimes an item can be undervalued if it's out in the farms, right? Or, you know, if you take it up to the city, more buyers, more demand, it increases its value. For instance, a diamond sitting out in the farm is worth much less than sitting on 47th Street, the Diamond District, right? So the question is, when we evaluate a person's financial standing, a person makes a pledge. The halacha is that the kohen, right, they would go and appraise his, you know, financial standing and how much he could afford. Based on that, we give him, you know, his rate. So what if he has these items which locally, today they're worth X, but if you would wait until the market day or you take it up to the city, it would be worth much more. So what value are we basing our appraisal on? Today's and now's and here? Or is it based on our projected, you know, understanding of this thing's true value in the market? The answer is here and now. Even though we say elsewhere and concerning, you know, selling assets of Yisoyimim, we try to get the best value. We buff up the slaves. We buy them sometimes clothing, so that l'shvach it's sold at a higher rate. Shemti lokach l'ksus b'shleishim dinar. Imagine you buy him a suit for $30. Mashpiachu mana. He can go up drastically, even a mana. So it's a good investment. Pay 30 and you gain 100. V'chein para likewise. In the case of a cow. If you sell it today, it fetches very low. But if you wait till the market day, imam tin nicely itlis, wait for the butchers to come, the big yom hashuk, Rashi says the market day, mashbachasi, it can be worth way more. V'chim nargolis, likewise, expensive diamond, a pearl, imam nicely krach, take it up to the big city, mishubachasi, it's worth way more. So we do that when it comes to selling off assets of Yisrael. I mean, we try to get the best deal. But when it comes to a fellow who pledged, you know, to the Hegdish, and we have to determine his value with respect to, setting up a rate system, over here we don't project the future. Ein la Hegdish ala mekayma v'shata. Hegdish only applies itself to today's rate in today's location. And Rashi adds, if this fellow now, you know, let's say he has a nice diamond, it was appraised here in the Hick farm as worth $100. Okay, so that's his financial statement. That's what he can afford. Now, he can take this diamond, wait, bring it up to 47th Street and sell it for 10 times as much. That's his gain. It's his business. It doesn't change our, appraisal of his financial standing. Tanu Rabbanan, how do we know? Braisa, based on the Pasuk, v'nosin ze'erkach ba'imahu. So he pays off the erach based on that day. Shalayasha margolis lekalam. So we're not meant to wait with the margolis lekalam with respect to changing the rate on this person who's a poor man. Lekalam, Rashi says, la'adam kal va'ani, a poor man who's paying lightly, paying a low fee, paying a low rate. We don't appraise based on futures. And this is despite the fact that his money is going to the Bedek HaBayis. A great purpose. So still, we work on based on today's rate. Kodesh Lashem, Stam Hegdesh, presumed destination of a Hegdesh money. Hegdesh is the Bedek HaBayis, the building maintenance fund. So even though it's going to a lofty cause, we still work based on today's local rate. Harun Lach Shomei Yisrael. Okay, we start a new perek, which we'll discuss, amongst other halachas, discuss a fellow who is Magdish. He donated a Sadeh Achuza. Sadeh Achuza is a family plot from way back. It's not something which he purchased today. It's something which he has in the family. Halacha is when you Magdish it to the Beis HaMikdash. So it depends. If you decide to take it back, to buy it back, the owner, so yeah, you can do so, and he's given a flat rate. So whenever somebody's Magdish, whether it's the and looks to buy it back, whether the owner buys it back, or even a stranger, there's a flat rate, which we discussed a couple of times in this Masechta already. It's the flat, 50 shekel rate, 50 shekel per a base zera, a place where you can plant a chomer. A chomer is a kur, 30 se'ah of se'irim of barley. So let's call it an acre, just for the simplicity. So it's $50 an acre, okay? Irrespective of its actual market value. It's a flat, fixed rate prescribed in the Torah. Now, if the owner buys it back, great. So it stays back, it goes back to the former status, it reverts to his ownership, it's back in the family, it's done. However, if a stranger comes and buys it out of the Hekdesh, so we apply this flat rate as well, but in this case, it's only going to stay by him until Yovel comes. Once Yovel arrives, it goes back to the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak, and goes to the Kayhanim. Hashem gives it out to the Kayhanim. Which Kayhanim? The group of lucky Kayhanim who happen to be on rotation, on watch, when the Yovel year enters. So they distribute this farm amongst themselves, it's theirs to keep. Now, when we say you buy it back at the $50 rate, that's if you buy it back at the, you know, beginning of a Yovel cycle. So let's say you magdish it right in the beginning. A Yovel cycle is 50 years, right? So you magdish it at year one, buy it right back. There's still 50 years to go, meaning Hekdesh theoretically would hold on to it for the next 50 years. Well, actually 49 years, because comes Yovel, leaves the Hekdesh, so it's only 49 years to go. So you take the $50 and divide it to 49, which gives you about one seller and some change, one seller and a pundyon. A seller actually has 48 punyan, so it's going to be 49 times a seller and a punyan, which will give you exactly 50 slime plus a punyan, which is a bit over, but extra. So the answer is because it's meant for the conversion fee in the bank. You have to, you know, convert the change to the all the punyanis to the a large bill, so we have to add a little fee. So basically, that's how the formula works. So if you redeem it now, at the beginning of the Yovel cycle, 49 years to go, full rate, $50. Well, let's say it's 10 years down the road. So Hekdesh theoretically would only have it for 49 minus 10. So you deduct a sella plus per year that's already passed. So basically, we charge you a sella and a punyan as per the years remaining till the end of the Yovel cycle, and that's how much he pays to get it back. It says the Mishnah, "Emakdishin lefnei Yovel pachas b'shtei shana." You can't donate a stei achuza if it's less than 2 years to Yovel. The Gemara later will explain. It doesn't mean you can't donate. It means to say that if you want to now buy it back, you can donate it. You can donate it, but if you want to buy it back, so this prorated system, a seller and a putin per year, only applies if it's 2 or more years to Yovel. But if you're coming and being redeeming it less than 2 years to go, then it gets bumped up to the full rate of $50. Nor can you be poida, can you buy it back from the Hekdesh if it's less than a year after Yovel. The Gemara will explain exactly what this means. Now, the prorated system is based on full years. You don't account for months. So let's say it's 9.5 years left to Yovel. How much do you pay? You pay as though it's 10 full years, 10 sella and 10 putyun. Ein machashim, we don't account for, we don't calculate the chadashim, the months that pass, lehegdish, with respect to deducting from hegdish. Aval hegdish, machadish, chadash, machashim, chadashim. But if it is to the benefit of hegdish to do so, we do that. The more later we'll explain what this means is, in terms of this, it relates to the 2 year minimum. So let's say it's full 2 years to Yovel, you're buying it back, so you just pay 2 sella and 2 punyan if it's less than 2 years. So if it's a year, then it goes up to the full 50 rate. Right? Well, let's say it's 1.5 years. Two ways to look at it. Shall we say that really it's not yet a year? So let's consider it like 2 years. Because we ignore the fact that a couple of months has passed in that second year. So it's a full 2 years, get the prorated system. No, but Hekdesh doesn't work like that. If it's the Hekdesh's gain and benefit, we do account for the missing months. And we say, look, what do you mean? It's not 2 years anymore. It's only 1.5 years. So we account for these 6 months that already passed. And now since it's below the 2 year threshold, if you want to redeem it, you're up to the $50 rate. Aval Hegdash Machashav Chadash. Says the Gemara. Okay, so the Mishnah began. You can't be Magdash. Ein Magdishin if it's less than 2 years to Yovel. But Aminu, here comes a Kasha from Rebraisa, which seems to say you could be Magdash so close to Yovel. Magdishin, you could be Magdash your field, Bein Lifnei HaYovel, Bein Lachar Yovel, whether it's right before or right after Yovel. So there's no time limit, there's no minimum of 2 years. Ubishnas HaYovel Atzmal HaYagdash. Certainly on Yovel itself, you shouldn't be Magdish. Vim Higdish ain't a Kadosh, and if you do so, it doesn't work. In contrast to our Mishnah, which seems to say you can't be Magdish too close to Yovel, less than 2 years to Yovel. So we have a teretz from Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, Damar Tavai, they both answered. But the Mishnah says ein Magdishin before the Yovel, less than 2 years to Yovel. It doesn't mean that you can't activate Hegdish on your field. It just means to say that if you do so, if it's less than 2 years to Yovel, certainly Hegdish will apply to the field, but you cannot buy it back based on the prorated system of one sella and change per year. Rather, it goes up to full rate, $50 an acre. A Magdishin, you cannot activate a Hegdish so close to Yovel Igoyel, which will enable it to be bought back Bigirua with this incremental, prorated system. Pachas Mishteshan if it's less than 2 years. Rather, it must be bought back at full rate. And therefore, so why does the Mishnah say, Ein Magdishin? You can't be Magdish, you shouldn't be Magdish. It's just giving us good advice. It's going to cost you a lot. Be careful, watch your money. V'chivid Ein Magdishin, Ligol Bigirua, Pachas Mishteshan. And since it is so, that this Hegdish will cost you a lot to buy back. The Mishnah is dispensing advice. One should take care of his money. Avoid this extra, expense that's beyond your means, perhaps. You should not go ahead and do that. Don't be Magdish within 2 years because of the increased buyback rate. Okay, so bottom line, you could be Magdish whenever you want. But if it's too close to Yovel, within 2 years, the Girua system doesn't apply. The prorated seller and change system doesn't apply. Buyback costs you a full $50. It's more. Let's say HaMaglish Sadeu B'Shnasa Yovel Atzma. One is Maglish on the Yovel year itself. Does it work? V'machlekes Rav Amar Kedusha V'Noisin Chamishim. Sure. The Kedusha gets activated, but the buyback rate is full 50 shela. Ushmul Amar Eina Kadesha Kal Iker. He says no. There's no Kedusha being Chal on the field at all. You can't be Magdish on Yovel. So the question is why? Why does Kedusha not get applied in this case? Maska Flo Rav Yosef. I understand certainly when it comes to selling a field, when you sell a field, comes Yovel, it reverts back to the original owner. So we then understand why Shmuel holds you can't sell on Yovel itself, because if Yovel can remove ownership, certainly it's not a time to endow ownership, right? It takes it out of the buyer, certainly you can't buy it. So that's good by a sale. But here by the Hegdish, why would we apply that type of halacha? Mask of Rav Yosef. Bishlam Lini Mechir, I understand regarding selling. The Palak Shmuel at the Rav. Rav there holds that it works. Shmuel disagrees. I understand Shmuel's opinion. Ikal Mem, you can say, Kal V'Chomer. It's based on logic. Umam Mechura Kvar Yosef. Something is already sold before Yovel comes. Yovel, it takes it away from the owner. So it takes out something which is already there. Certainly you can't become an owner. Now that it's not sold, meaning you want to sell it and become an owner, in addition to Macha, certainly the sale does not take effect. That's by selling. But over here, by Hegdish, what's wrong with being Magdish on Yovel? Why would you apply such kal logic? But now we have a Mishnah. So if a fellow is Magdish his field. And comes Yevil, nobody had bought it back. Kohanim nechnosn l'toich of neisn domeo. Did Rabbi Yehuda read the whole? The Kohanim now go in and repossess the field, provided that they pay for it. They don't get a free of charge; they have to pay for it. But now they have a nice property. Did Rabbi Yehuda? In any case, what do we see? That even when Yovel does arrive, it's not like the Hekdesh just loses possession, which would trigger that Kavachayim. If you lose possession, certainly you can't attain possession. It's not so. It has to be sold off to the Kohanim. So this whole concept that we have by Mechira doesn't apply to Hekdesh. So back to the question, why can't you activate Hekdesh on Yovel itself? So again, by Mechira, if ownership expires on Yovel, certainly you can't activate ownership on Yovel, but by Hekdesh. Hekdesh doesn't expire on Yovel. The fact is, it has to be bought from the Hekdesh. It doesn't just dissipate. So, for the same token, why can't you be Magdish on Yovel? Answers the Gemara, guess what? You're quoting Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Hekdesh doesn't expire on Yovel. Shmuel, however, Krab Shimon's really. He also Krab Shimon the Omar, Nechnosim Loy Noisn. Come Yovel, the Kehanim enter the field, they take possession without paying a dime. So in effect, Hekdesh is expiring, which serves as a trigger point for this Kavach Haimer. If it expires, you can't activate it on Yovel. The Rav returns him anyways. Rav responds, that's not really an expiration of Hekdesh. Rav Sovar, safe, ultimately, Labayla Mikahadra, are you saying that it goes back to the owner, which means Hekdesh just expires? No. Hashem gave it to the Kohanim. Hashem took his Hekdesh, so to speak, and gave it to the Kohanim as a gift. That's not an expiry of Hekdesh, that's an implementation of Hekdesh. It goes to the Kohanim. The Kohanim, how did they get it? It's an expression, they take it from Hashem's table. Okay. So bottom line, a fellow is Magdash on Yovel. Rav says it works. And in fact, if you want to go buy it back, full rate is required because it's still a full Yevil cycle to go, right? From now to the next Yevil, it's going to be by Hekdesh a full, 49 years, so you owe the full rate if you want to buy it back. Shmuel says no. Hekdesh is an ex-appropriator. So, just like you can't sell a field on Yevil, Yevil is an ex-appropriator, so just like you can't sell a field on Yevil because if Yevil cancels ownership, certainly you can't activate. Same thing with Hekdesh. My time with the Rav. Now, what is Rav's position based on? What's his source that you can be Magdash on Yevil itself? So the puzzle clearly relates to a system which starts on Yevil. If from Yevil and onward to be Magdash, indicating that Mishnas Hayevel, which means to say that you can be Magdash on Yevil itself. A Shmuel responds, Miksiv Vim Bishnas Hayevel, does it say Bish in their Yevil year, which would indicate that you're actually on the Yevil year. Mishnas Hayevel, it says from after the Yevil, Mishnas Sha'ach Hayevel, starting the year after the Yevil, but of course on Yevil itself you can't be Magdash. Now, Bishlam Elarav, let's take a look at the Psukim again. So we have two redemption rates. One pasuk says, "V'im mishnas hayevil ki'agdash tadeu ke'erkech hayakum." If you magdash it mishnas hayevil, so you have to redeem it based on the erech and the rate. V'im achar hayevil ki'agdash tadeu is magdash after yevil. So then v'chishev la'akoyin as a kesef according to the remaining years. So it's prorated, one sell and change per year. So according to Rab, we have two tracks. If you magdash on yevil, it's a full rate because it's still going to be. It was meant to stay in hektish proper for the next 49, 50 years. But if it's later on, some years have passed, in which case your rate reduces, right? So according to Rabbi, in the standard two psukim, referring to different, redemption processes. That's referring to Hekdesh that happened on Yevil itself, full rate for buyback. Vim Achar Yevil, that's later on, was Magdash, so it's a smaller rate, based on prorating. El Shmuel, my Achar Yevil. But according to Shmuel, that you cannot be Magdash on Yevil itself. So, what are these two psukim about? You can't be one on Yevel, one after. There's no Kedusha on Yevel. They're both after Yevel. So what's the two Pesukim? Achar Achar Yevel. The answer is the first Pesuk is speaking when he's redeeming it right after Yevel. You know, immediately after Yevel, the first year after Yevel, so then full rate is required. But Achar Achar means later on, a couple years down the road. Then the rate shrinks as per the years that have passed. Meisvei comes Akash. Magdishin. Bein lifnei ha-yovel. Okay, so it's a braisa. We had actually before. Namen Aleph. Magdishin bein lifnei ha-yovel, ben lachar yovel. We might just write before or after yovel. It's not so yovel, that's one of the agdish. You shouldn't do it on yovel itself. In a kadosh, in fact, if you are magdish at that point, then it doesn't work. Okay, so what do we see? That there's no ability to activate Hekdesh on Yovel itself, in contrast to Rabu says you could be Magdesh on Yovel, although the buyback rate will be very high, but you could be Magdesh. I'm not Chorab, that's exactly what the Brisa means to say. Eina Kedosha Begirua. If you choose to be Magdesh on Yovel, you're not going to get a reduced rate. Aval Kedosha Benoisin Chamishin. Rather, the buyback rate is 50, full rate. And so the Brisa means. So if we go back to the Braisa, it reads like this: Magdishin bein lifnei yevel achar yevel, which indicates that you can magdish right before or after yevel, and the buyback rate will be prorated, but the hekdesh that occurred on yevel itself requires a full-fledged, full rate buyback rate. Okay, mechlal. So that implies on yevel itself, it's a full rate, but mechlal de lifnei yevel. But if you were to be Magdish the field immediately before Yevel, even if it's within 2 years, you know, that 2 years, even within that, the regular buyback rate applies, you know, the incremental year by year, prorated buyback rate. Is that so? That's in direct contradiction to what we said just a couple of minutes ago. That if you Magdish it within 2 years to Yevel, you get a full buyback rate. Vara, Ushmo, they both told us, Damit Havayu, a magdishan the goal begirua pachas b'shei shanim. If a person chooses to magdish within 2 years to Yevel, a full buyback rate applies. Not, you know, a sella, you know, plus per year. Omalach, Rav, Mani, Rabbanani. So Rav responds, you're right. 100% right. I'm retracting my understanding of this price. This price, in fact, is saying that you cannot activate Hekdesh on Yovel. Okay? And it's not going to be a contradiction to what I said that you could, because I'm going like Rebbe. If you recall Rebbe back on the Yudches, when the Torah refers to a boundary mark, let's say, you know, a time zone from here to here, includes that reference as well. So by Pesach it says from day one till day seven includes day one and day seven as well. It's not from following day one, right? It's including day one. Likewise over here when it says v'mishnas ha-yevel, that indicates you can do hekdesh even on shnas ha-yevel itself. But this brisa, which we just quoted, indicates otherwise. Hamani Rabbani, it's Rabban who say that when the Torah makes a reference point from here to there, you know, it's after that point. So v'mishnas ha-yevel means from after yevel. I'm going like Rebbe. The Amar already told us regarding Chametz on Pesach, where the Pasuk says, "Be'yam Rishon v'yam Shvi," from day one to day seven, including Rishon means Rishon b'chal, including day one. So Chametz starts from day one, including Shvi until day seven, Shvi b'chal, including day seven. Ochanami as well. The Pasuk says, "V'mishnas ha-yevel." It's not from after Yevel. Ochanami, Mishnas means from and including that year. Mishnas u'shnas ha-yevel b'chal. Okay, so it comes out like this. According to Rebbe, it's really machlekes tanoim, and Rebbe's according to Rav, it's really machlekes tanoim, and Rav is following Rebbe's shita. V'mishnas ha-yevel allows us to make hekdesh on yevel itself. Ask the Gemara. Very good, but what's the redemption rate? Now, by the way, Rashi points out that according to Shmuel, he disagrees. He says that even according to Rebbe, yeah, when it comes to chametz, you know, it says from day one till day seven, so includes both days as well. But over here, It doesn't say the word va'ad. It could have said, if it meant Hegdash on Yevil itself, it should have said Bishnas, but it says Mishnas. According to Shmuel, all agree, you know, the first opportunity to be Magdash is only after Yevil. Okay. Now, according to Rav, however, Rebbe's opinion would be that Mishnas means from the Yevil, including the Yevil itself. So the question is, it's really a full 50 years that Hegdash is going to have it if you Magdash it today on Yevil. Today, plus the next 49 years. Comes next Yevil, the Hegdash loses it. It leaves the Hegdash, but until then you have a full 50 years. Right? Because every Yevil cycle comprises 50 years. 49 plus the Yevil. If he's Magdash it today on this Yevil, which is the last Yevil cycle, and it gets activated today, so it's today plus next 49 years until the next year when it leaves the Hegdash. So it's really a 50 year possession. 50 selah is the rate divided into 50 years. It's an even rate, one selah per year. Why do you have to add a selah and change? If you're taking 50 divided into 49, you have to make up for that extra year, split the last selah into 49, whatever. But if it's a Hegdash of a 50 year duration, so the buyback is 50 selah, which is a perfect even equal rate, one selah per year. That's the Gemara's kash. Ika Rebbe, according to Rebbe, punjoin, the extra penny, the extra change that you add per year, my vite, what's it doing there? Chitay less late, perhaps Rebbe, you're right, he doesn't hold it at punjoin. He holds that it's one seller per year, it's an even rate. V'atanan, we have a Mishnah or a Braisa. Higdish shtayim mishol shom niya yevil. If a fellow was magdash his field a couple of years to yevil, he wants to buy it back, the rate is a seller plus per year. Rabbi Aymar, in my opinion, is nice and sell a punyan. L'shana. You always sell on a punyan per year. Why? The answer is, Rabbi Karbida Sferli. We thought that a Yevil cycle is comprised of 50 years. No, Rabbi also like Rabbi Yehuda, that really a Yevil cycle is 49 years. Because it's 7 times 7 Shemitah, so it's 49. And the next year, which is Yevil, is really already counted as also year 1 for the next Shemitah cycle. So in totality, it's just 49 years. So even if you could be Magdash today on Yevil, and it's going to last for the next 49 years, including this year, it's only 49 years in total. Hence, they sell and punyan right per year, because you have to take the 50th Selah, prescribed by the Torah, and split it to 49. The Amar Shnas Chamish in the year 50, which is Yevil of last cycle, Oidel Lakan can be applied both ways. It's applied as year 50 for the previous cycle, and year 1 for the next cycle, giving us just a total of 49 years to work with. Good. So bottom line, according to Shitas Rav, you can Magdash a field on Yevil, according to Rebbe Shita, and it's going to stay in Yevil in Hegdash's possession for 49 years, right? Hence the Selah Punyan rate per year, for you need to divide the 50 Selah total by 49. Now the Shmuel who says that according to all Shitas, even Rebbe, you can't be Magdash on Yevil. The first opportunity is the year after Yevil. Let's go back to this buyback rate. How is that going to work? Why is it that we're splitting 50 sell into 49 years, indicating that at most, right, the Hegdash will only take possession for 49 years until the next year? Lame Rebbe Rabbanon Sevirle. So you have to say, perhaps, that Rebbe holds like the Rabbanon in terms of the fact that a Yevil cycle is 50 years. And since you cannot activate Hegdash on the Yevil itself, only the year following, leaving us another 49 years. Hence, the 50 cell divided into 49. The Yikra would be severely, but if he would be following Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that really the full total cycle is only 49, well, you have to deduct for this year, because you can't be Magdash on Yevil itself, leaving us just 48 years to work with. So really, you're going to divide 50 into 48. That gives you more than a cell on punyans. It's a cell on two punyans. Cell or stay punyans, but it should be cell on two punyans. Al-Kach, you have to say l'shmul, according to Shmuel's opinion, that you can't be Magdash on Yevil, so you have to shave off that year from the total, you know, number. You have to say that Rebbe Karabon is severely holds like the Rabbanon, that in fact the full cycle is comprised of 50 years, and you shave off the Yevil year, which you can't be Magdash on, leaving us 49. So at the formula, 50 divided to 49. Leaving us with a Selah and a Punyan per year. Tashmai comes another Raya, another Kashan Rav, who allows us to be Magdash on Yevil. Our Mishnah says, you can't be Magdash. You can't redeem less than a year after Yevil. Now, what does the Mishnah mean? So, when we learned the Mishnah, we said we're going to leave the explanation for the Gemara. Here it is. How do we understand that statement? You can't buy back less than a year after Yevil. So let's see how Shmuel is going to learn and how Rav is going to learn. Bishlam el Shmuel, according to Shmuel, I understand. Mishnah just means that you can't redeem something which had been donated on Yovel. There's no concept of Hegdash on Yovel. Okay, so that first opportunity is after Yovel. You magdash it now and begoil it. El Rav, my Echar Yovel Shon, but according to Rav, who says that you can be magdash even on Yovel and redeem it then too, you just have to pay full rate. So why is the Mishnah indicating you can't do it until it's a year after you? Says the Gemara, Mi Savras Achar Yovel Mamish? Do you mean the Mishnah is referring to what happens right after Yovel? You have to wait a year? No. My Achar Yovel Be'emtsa Yovel. The Mishnah is talking about many years later, we turn to the next topic. Many years later, 20, 30 years past the Yovel. And all the Mishnah is saying like this. You can't reckon months. You can't calculate for anything less than a year. So suppose it's 19 and a half years left to the next year. How much is it going to cost you? Is it like 20 years left? Or do you say, no, it's already 6 months into the next. So deduct. No, you don't deduct for missing months. And that's all the Mishnah is saying. You have to reckon with, you know, year units. Units of years, not months. To call Kamed Leimali Leishana. Until, you know, the year is filled, until you have passed through a full year, you don't reckon with the missing months. You can't deduct for the missing months. Michael Mashman, what's the mission teaching us? That you don't reckon for missing months. You only work based on years, not on months. In Mechashman, Chadoshim, in Magdash, you can't apply months regarding calculating the rate to Hegdash. That's the next part of the Mishnah. Clearly said in the next line of the Mishnah. In Mechashman, Chadoshim, Magdash, you can't reckon months when it comes to redemption processes. Matam Kamer, the Mishnah is explaining itself. Yeah, it's all one and the same point. Ma tam lo yigal l'nacha yevach mishana. Why is it that you can't set your rate for anything less than a year? Mishum de mechash v'chadash mehagdash. That's the reason, because you can't reckon with the monthlies regarding hagdash. So it's all full years. And that's what the Mishnah means. Ein gal b'chadash mishana means you can't demand a reduction, a deduction based on the partial year that passed, because it's all about full years. That only works on your end. You can't deduct based on missing months. But if it is beneficial to Hegdash to do so, they can do so. How's that? So we learned that, right, if you're going to redeem it less than 2 years to Yovel, it's a full rate. Let's say it's only 1.5 years to Yovel. 18 months. Two ways to look at it. On the one hand, you can say, well, it's less than 2 years. On the other hand, you can say, no, it is 2 years because the first year hasn't yet expired. It's only a couple of months missing. So how do you look at it? Is it full 2 years left to Yovel? In which case, you get a prorated, you know, buyback system. Or is it less than 2 years? In which case, it goes up to full rate. So here, it's beneficial to Hegdash to account for the missing months, which puts you at less than 2 years, which you know, ups the rate, a full rate. And that's what we do. How do we know that we can't reckon for the missing months to deduct from our buyback rate? The coin reckons based on remaining years. You can reckon based on years, but not on months. We have to mechashev chadash. That's only on my end. There's a gesher shemrotze hegdish. How do we know that if hegdish, if it's beneficial to Hegdash to do so, to apply the months to the year, they do so. Hechdami, how exactly? Going to Aglishay Palgadar Boyin Vatami. It's halfway through 48, which means it's only half a year to 48 plus a year of 49. So it's a year and a half left to Yovel. Shall we say, well, it's still 2 years because until it's. So basically, if it's 2 years or more, prorated system. If it's just a year or less, full rate. What if it's a year and a half? It's less than two, but it's not yet one. Tamilim Vechishel Le'akayin Mekal Makam Ter. Allows the kohen to reckon for that missing period of the year, and since that missing portion puts you at less than 2 years, so we apply the full rate of 50 siloin. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. We spoke about the collection agency leaving the fellow with enough for himself, food and clothing for a reasonable amount of time. Likewise, he wouldn't take his family's belongings. Regarding tools of trade, we leave him two apiece. The tefillin actually are included, and he has to buy it back. I spoke about basing our evaluation of his assets based on current local rates, not based on future projections. A person's magdash is sadei achuza. Can he be magdash on Yevil itself? There's machlekes there, according to Rav, according to Rebbe's opinion, yes, according to Shmuel, not. How much is the buyback rate? Typically, it's one selam punyan per year, meaning if he's magdash it with 49 years to go, so as the years go by, we deduct one selah and a punyan per year. However, if he's magdash it within 2 years to Yevil, the buyback rate is a full 50. And likewise, according to Rav, a hekdush that occurred on Yevil requires a full buyback rate of 50. And we explained how it is that we take the 50 and divide it into selam punyan, because according to all opinions, the maximum hekdush is a period of 49 years, which takes 50 to 49, which leaves you a selam punyan per year. Regarding reckoning months, so the buyer back will not reckon for missing months, whereas Hegdash will do so. For instance, in the case of the 2 year minimum, if it's a bit below 2 years, we reckon for that missing portion, which bumps it up to the full rate of 50 selah. All the best to you, Mr. Stavis.